The Czech Republic recently saw an outbreak of tensions between the country's Romani minority and parts of the majority population. People in the isolated northern Bohemian region of Šluknov began holding anti-Romani rallies to protest growing crime rates in the region. The government reacted by sending in the police, but also by adopting a plan to tackle the issue of Romani exclusion and impoverishment. To discuss what's happening in the Czech Republic, I'm joined in the studio by Gwendolyn Albert from the United States, who's been for the past 20 years or so living in the Czech Republic and working for the Romani advocacy group Roma. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you.
First of all, Gwendolyn, I'd like to ask, what exactly is happening in northern Bohemia? Is the conflict primarily ethnic or social? How would you describe it in terms people abroad could understand?
I think one of the basic problems in that area is that it has been neglected in terms of economic development for the past 20 years. So you have a large number of people who are unemployed, and they don't see a future for themselves. This is probably the key to the problem. What's new about this is that these events have involved local people, people of all ages, people bringing their children out to the square to sing the national anthem and then yell, "Let's go get 'em," and march on the parts of towns that are easily identifiable as the Roma ghetto, basically. So this is a culmination of several factors, including the fact that Romani people basically live in a segregated situation in most of this country. It's, over the past 20 years, become more and more sort of a petite apartheid situation where it's, you know where the Roma part of town is, and that makes it easy if you want to use them as the scapegoat for your own frustrations to go and target them.
The media sort of presented the events in northern Bohemia in a particular way that sort of fueled what came next even more. The Economist noted recently the similarities between the language of the Third Reich and the way Czech politicians and media refer about this.
I think the media wants to increase readership, and it knows that if it describes things as dramatically as possible, it will increase its readership, it will increase the numbers of people following what it's reporting on. And so by unnecessarily mentioning the ethnicities of people involved in criminal incidents, that's one way to definitely increase the readership. The other problem is that generally we have seen since about 2006 in Czech society an ever rightward push in the general discourse. So when in the general discourse, it's normal for people to use this term nepřizpůsobivý, which means inadaptable, and is basically from the Nazi era. This is sort of a way of referring to the Roma without referring to the Roma, if you understand me. It doesn't involve an ethnic designation. And that is standard use now in everyone's discourse. The Czech press agency releases press releases without quotation marks around that term. So this is a real challenge for the media. If this is the language the society is speaking, what can the media do? How can the media make sure that they're reporting about what is actually taking place, but not inflame the tensions? And this is where we see, you know, the real irresponsibility of many online venues. Also, the point of view of Romani people is almost never represented. And this is a real problem. They're the sort of mute, silent scapegoat. And they have complaints of their own in these places. You know, it's a very sad situation when we have Romani civil rights leaders who think that, you know, what they need to do is be constantly distancing themselves from crime events that are being sort of artificially blown up in the media.
Isn't the problem that the Romani people themselves hardly get a say? Isn't that a problem as well, that the leaders seem to be either distancing themselves from the community, or there don't seem to be any leaders living in the actual excluded places? So the reporters, they can get some interesting color quotes from the people who live there, but no one really to talk about what the community wants and desires. What's the state of the Romani community in the Czech Republic?
Well, I think that what you're describing is a very accurate depiction, unfortunately, of the process of the sort of the reimposition of a society that is stratified by class in the Czech Republic during the course of the introduction of a market economy. You have people who are now living in great poverty, And then you have people who are managing to succeed in the competition that they've been faced with. And it is true that it is very rare for people who make it, for example, to university and are able to function at some sort of higher level. It is very rare for those people to really return to the communities where people are worst off and attempt to assist them. Now, that there are, I personally know many people who do this in the Roma community in the Czech Republic and who try to get allies for this work. But the biggest problem is that the numbers of the Roma minority here are really very small. And so it's hard when you take the fraction of those Roma people who are actually capable of being good advocates and using the legal system and the tools of democracy that are available, that's an even smaller fraction.
Well, the government a couple of weeks ago adopted this 4-year strategy to tackle the issue. And for the first time, it seems that they actually listened to what the experts have been saying for years now, which is to do something about the phenomenon of placing Romani children in hugely disproportionate numbers, of course, in special schools. What do you think of the government's response to whatever is happening in Northern Bohemia and elsewhere?
Having watched the Czech government for the last 15 years or so, especially in its performance at international bodies, I am very cynical. My view is that what they're very good at, not just this government, but most of the preceding ones, is developing strategies that look very good on paper and promising, whether it's to the OSCE or to the UN or to the Council of Europe, promising that change is just around the corner and shifting the blame. This is what is really the most irritating when you hear a government claim that it has no power to address things. You know, there is a lot of money available from the European Social Funds and the European Structural Funds, which, if properly designed, could alleviate the poverty that exists in this country. Market processes are being allowed to run because they fall into the category of free market behavior and are therefore sort of given this untouchable status. So you have these people who are really ripping the state off. You have these landlords at these residential hotels who charge rent per person, not per square meter, and who are capable of charging large families living in very small rooms a rent that, if they were paying that rent even in Prague, they would be able to find more spacious, more dignified accommodation than they're finding in these small towns. Nobody is sanctioning this behavior. And there are all kinds of other sort of machinations that are going on. Also, the development of loans and loan services, commercial loan services, which are, you know, loaning to the poor at very, very high rates of interest. This has nothing to do with Roma or non-Roma or anything. This is simply about policy at local level, which the state definitely could begin to regulate more.
Do you see any risk of this problems being exploited like they were in Hungary, for instance? There seems to be a growing sort of part of the Czech political discourse focusing on traditional national values. We saw that recently with President Václav Klaus and other politicians and sort of public figures around him. Do you think that this poses a serious threat or risk for even for Czech democracy?
In the future, I think what will be important to follow and to fight against is exactly the development of just such a Jobbik party or a Le Pen figure. I unfortunately think that what is happening now with, for example, this very controversial figure at the Czech Education Ministry, Mr. Batora, I think that that process is unfortunately part of a sort of a testing of what Czech society will put up with. And when President Klaus leaves in 2013, it's entirely possible that he will try to become exactly such a figure. So, yes, I think this is a real possibility. I think the mainstream parties should be very careful that they clearly define themselves and that they keep their members with them. And I do think that depending on how long it takes for the EU-funded solutions to get going here in the Czech Republic, depending on how much further into poverty these really depressed areas are allowed to fall, there is a definite chance that Mr. Klaus will ride in on a white horse and fill that gap in the political spectrum.